Testament lesson comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. The other day I was looking at a magazine, and I tore this page out of the magazine because I thought this will be good fodder for a conversation with my 19-year-old son, Matthew. Now, the title is Three Words to Live By. It says the best advice is brief, and yet it resonates throughout your life. It's easy to remember and makes a ton of sense. Open your ears. So here are a few of the three-word pieces of advice that come on this page. And this is something I have to tell my kids a lot. Check the oil. Show up early. Read the manual. Beat the deadline. Ask for help. Do your chores. Write it down. Call your mom. Charge your batteries. I'm sure we could go on and on and on. The title of this sermon is For the Lord. And these are the last words of the scripture that we're going to be reading from Judges 7. Where Gideon says to his 300 mighty men, he says, for the Lord and for Gideon. Let us read the word of the Lord from Judges 7. We're picking up where we left off last week, where we talked about how the 300 were chosen at the spring of Herod. And we pick it up there where it says, now the camp of Midian lay below Gideon in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all of the other eastern peoples had settled in that valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and he called out, saying, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he said to them. Now follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. And when I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon, the word of the Lord. When God is ready to show us what it is that He is doing, He wants us to understand that everything is orchestrated according to His perfect plan. Now think about this. We've been talking about the story of Gideon and how Gideon is threshing his wheat in the wine press, which is kind of evidence of him being afraid. There's this theme of Gideon being afraid over and over and over again. And we see it again today in the text, where the Lord, after showing many signs and wonders to Gideon to say, now take the Midianites, He said, now is the night. And oh yeah, by the way, if you're afraid, I've got one last sign for you. I want you to go down with your servant, and I want you to hear something, and when you hear it, you will be encouraged or emboldened to fight. And so what is it that he does? He takes his servant down in the middle of the night and he goes to the outskirts, presumably of the camp. And very coincidentally, he overhears a conversation. Now, I say that with tongue in cheek, of course, because there are no coincidences in the divine economy, right? Now, think about this. We've already said that there are 135,000 warriors amongst the Midianites and the Amalekites and the Eastern people. 135,000. Now, I'm asking you, what are the chances of Gideon coming to one tent and overhearing a conversation right at that moment about a dream that this guy has and the interpretation? I would say that it's pretty near infinitesimal, tiny, unlikely, not going to happen. Okay? But again, in God's economy and God's way of revealing His truth, He orchestrates all of these circumstances and events in our lives perfectly. For what purpose? One, to accomplish His will, but also that it evokes a response in us. What is the response that is evoked in Gideon here? And he bowed down and he worshiped. I submit to you that there are two things that God wants us to do in response to His revelation and His purpose and plan in our life. The first one is worship. That we understand that we have a God who is so worthy of all our praise, all of our devotion, that we bend the knee to this amazing God in worship. Paul says, I urge you to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We as followers of God, as people who are now hidden in the cleft, as it were, of Christ, are called to worship God. But that's not all that we're called to do. We're called to work as well. Okay? What was the response? After he got up off of his knees, worshiping the Lord, he went back to his camp and he said, we're going to attack the Midianites now. There's work to be done, brothers. I kind of think of this in terms of rowing. I don't know if any of you have ever been out rowing or if you've been on a rowing team, but you got two oars in the water, okay? Now think about it this way. If we were followers of God who only ever worshiped, we'd be going in circles. You've heard of the expression, too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. On the other hand, if all we're about is, you know, what we're supposed to do down here, and we exclude the idea that everything that we do has to flow out of the reality of worship of God, then we've got the other oar, and it's all work. And guess what? We're going in circles. There's this unity of worship and work that we're called to, that God has called us to. We are His workmanship, and I've shared that many times. That is a scripture that is very meaningful to me. Created for good work, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. He's calling us to be creative in the work that we are called to do, imaginative, engaging the latent gifts that He's given to us and creating beautiful things, developing our skills in that. But listen, when we talk about work, remember what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden. Work was a beautiful thing, and God assigned work to Adam and Eve in the garden. But once in their rebellion, they broke relationship with God, God said, okay, now there's a curse associated with work. You're going to, through the sweat of your brow and through weeds and thorns, gain your living through your work. So, in other words, you know, God's not promising us an easy life with the good work that He's laid out in advance for us to do. In fact, there is going to be opposition in that, and it's not always going to be easy. But listen, we have been adopted as God's children, and God is looking after us, and we are no longer orphans. The other day, I had the privilege with Bill Alsbrook to visit some community leaders. And one of the community leaders that we went to visit was Bill Hollingshead. He is the chief of police, if I'm not mistaken, here in our community. And it was a real joy for me to be able to get to know him a little bit better and understand his perspective, and had an opportunity to pray with him. Just outside of his office, there's a little reception area. I don't know if you've ever been there. I certainly recommend that you go there, and if nothing else, just pray for our law enforcement officers and for the force of lawfulness in our community. Let's pray for that, because we know the man of lawlessness is working continually and overtime against us. So we need to be praying for people like Bill, who's a believer, who is trying to be a force for good in this community. But in the reception area, there were a couple of magazines, and I picked up one of the magazines, and it had to do with abuse. Okay, and I was flipping through there, and I thought, man, I really don't even know the first thing about abuse. And there was something in there that I thought was very interesting, and it had to do with bullying. And there were cases of pictures of kids who had been bullied, and the situations were so terrible that those kids came to a place where they took their own life as a result of that. And that broke my heart. And I was reading that, and they said there are a number of factors that go in with what would bring a person to that point. And one of the things is that there's not a good support group, and there's not loving, caring parents in a situation like that that are coming alongside of those kids. And why do I use that illustration? Because in many ways, those kids that only saw a solution in taking their own life were orphans. We are not orphans, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ. The enemy would have you believe that you're an orphan. He wants to cut you off from the family of God. He wants to take you away from the hope of the gospel, that we know that we are children of the living God. God has given each and every one of us His Holy Spirit, that Spirit that enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. You know that Aramaic word, Abba, it's an affectionate term. And it can be best translated in English as daddy. You know that when you're talking to your daddy, that he loves you and that he cares for you and that he has your best interest at stake. But we know as parents, as loving parents, that we don't give everything to our kids on a golden platter. When God said, you will work the ground, and through the sweat of your own labor and fighting through the thorns, you will gain a living. Listen, we live in a bad world. You just have to turn the TV on and look at the stuff that's going on in Paris. And it sends, you know, fear into your heart. And You know, I pray that that would not come to America. But we need to be salt and light in our world, in our community, and we need to be praying as intercessors for our nation. And we need to be living that way as well, as salt and light in this world. And you know what? We're going to find opposition. People are going to come up against us. Okay? Don't be afraid. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is with us. Listen, the victory has already been won. Okay? Think about Gideon. In the mind of God, the battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites had already been done. Okay? He just needed to convince Gideon of that. Gideon, you're to be used by me to accomplish the salvation of Israel. And of course, the greatest deliverer, the one who brought salvation to Israel and all of God's people, regardless of creed, is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his work in our life. Now, we face the challenges of life, and I just want to encourage you, if you are a parent, it's not easy to be a parent. He will give you grace. Ask for it. The scripture from the New Testament was, ask for it. Knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. You have not, because you ask not. And I challenge each and every one of us, as we consider in this new year, what is God calling us to do? Let us, when he shows what it is that we are to do, ask him for his grace and his mercy and his empowerment by his Spirit to be able to accomplish those things. You're a parent, you need patience. Ask for that patience from God. He will give you wisdom and understanding to know how to be a good parent. If you're a student, you all know the challenges that are associated with being a student. He'll give you peace of mind. He'll give you the understanding to be able to do the work that you're called to. He'll be giving you creative energy. Ask for that. If you're a grandparent, ask for his mercy and grace and patience and understanding and provision to be able to speak into the lives of those wonderful grandkids of yours. And God will give you an opportunity to do that. Most importantly, start with prayer. That is where the real work is. Praying and praying and praying. Let us pray for our kids and our grandkids each and every day. Perhaps you're struggling with your health. Give that to the Lord. Listen, God has not promised that we are going to be healthy our whole lives. In fact, the Bible is full of examples of people who have come to the end of their life and their health is taken away from them, and that is the means by which God uses to bring us home. We live in a broken world, and we are all affected by that. Thanks be to God, we're not orphans, okay? These briars in this world, we can ask God to heal us. And I know that there are many stories, even in this congregation, of people who have asked, and God has granted them that healing. And why does he do that? He has a purpose for that, to draw us closer to himself. I don't understand why things happen. Why do things happen? Why did the Midianites come against the people of Israel? They probably asked that. Well, on the face of it, there was a lot of good food to be had. Right? These Israelites are planting all their crops, and the Midianites are coming in there and saying, hey, it's all free food. Okay, that's an obvious reason why. But the real reason why was because the people of Israel had rejected their God. And God brought the Midianites against the people of Israel to try them and to test them. And guess what happened? They cried out to God finally and said, we need you. And that's all God wants to hear from us as his kids. God, we need you. We need you so much. Help us. And he will send us help. And he has sent us a deliverer in Jesus Christ. I want to end by saying from 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58, Paul is writing to the church there in Corinth, and he says, thanks be to God that he gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, stand firm, immovable, always giving yourself fully to the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Amen.